the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to rightly see us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and
the Gospel of John is a literary masterpiece. It is very simple language. The first-year Greek students, either preparing for or in the seminary, preparing for the pastoral ministry, can jump into the Gospel of John because the Greek there is simple enough for even them to begin to read a verse or two. But the theology is very deep. It is very profound indeed. And it is wrought through with all kinds of themes. There's light, there's darkness. There is all of these themes that we find in John's gospel. One of them that I've even noticed in the last couple lessons we've taught with Pastor Tom Baker, our Sunday school lessons, are already present there, and that theme is water. It seems in John's gospel there is water just about everywhere, and it seems to be on Jesus' mind an awful lot. It begins with this Samaritan woman today, simply with Jesus asking for some water, give me some water to drink. And it ends, that simple request, with Jesus giving this woman a different kind of water. Indeed, not just this woman, but every member of her village ends up being given this living water, which turns out to be faith and the Holy Spirit. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We're in John chapter 4, the famous story of Jesus speaking with the Samaritan woman. Feel free to join us as we come to you live on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 18th. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus and the Samaritan woman, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Water is a big theme in John's gospel, already in the turning of water into wine and a couple other lessons that we've been talking about. I have noticed that water is on Jesus' mind. What's going on here?
Anytime you think there is a concept, particularly found in the New Testament, you really need to go back to the Old Testament because that's where you're going to hear about it. And in Jeremiah 17, for example, verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Now, the reason that's so important is that when Jesus is talking to the woman in chapter 10, he says, if you knew the gift of God that I'm about to give to you, you would ask, give me to drink, and you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The same kind of concept. It's just not regular water, it's living water. The original Greek is zao. In English, it's Z-A-O, and it is a lifeless, not dead water. It's fresh running water in contrast to the stagnant water at the bottom of a well. Or one can say living water is the life given by God. We not only find it in Jeremiah 17, but in Zechariah 13. On that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. Or Zechariah 14, verse 8. On that day the living waters shall flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea and half of them to the western sea. And Isaiah 55, this is really a good one. Come, everyone who thirsts. That's what Jesus is saying to the woman at the Samaritan well. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. John is even more clear on this in chapter 7, when on the last day of the feast, Jesus stands up and cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever," now this is important, "believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, John explains in verse 39 that Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And finally, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So in context of all these Old Testament as well as New Testament passages, when Jesus talks about living water, he's talking about the life that God is going to be giving to the people. Remember, Jesus himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And therefore, this is just a metaphor he's using about water to help us to understand how important is this concept that the Gospel of John has said many things about.
So I guess what I'm wondering here is, can you explain how Jesus goes against the etiquette of the day in even approaching this woman, and this woman who is a Samaritan?
Yes. In fact, just last week in a Bible class I was teaching, somebody said that they had heard that Jesus never spoke to Gentiles. And I gave about 8 examples where he did, and this was one of them. This was a woman of Samaria, and the Jews just did not like the Samaritans because they had interbred with what they considered to be infidels. So they were unworthy people. And he came to a town of Samaria where there was a field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And he had sent the disciples in to get some food into a nearby town. It was about the 6th hour, which means around noon. And a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Now, nobody draws water at noon. It's way too hot. And we find out a little later why she had come at that time. She not only had had a number of husbands, but the man she was living with, she was not married to right now. So Jesus says, "Give me a drink." The disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And this is really ridiculous. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? And John explains, "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Now, Jesus has a technique here that I think we all need to follow. He doesn't answer her question. He instead goes in the direction he wants the conversation going. if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, she says. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Because the bottom of the well would have kind of stagnant water sometimes. Living water would be fresh, really clear. And are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us a well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. Jesus then says to her, verse 13, everyone who drinks of this water, namely the water that comes from a well, you're going to be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, you will never be thirsty again. For the water that I give him will come in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What Jesus is saying is that he, as the source of true water, will give you a life that you will not only never regret, but that you won't become thirsty in not having. And we as Christians recognize that, whatever happens to us, God is always with us, working things to our good, and the promises keep on coming. So, the woman says, still not understanding, sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Now, one of the important things in ministry and mission work is always to use law and gospel. The law to help a person realize they have need of this living water. So Jesus uses the law in this sense. Go call your husband and come here. The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus says to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Well, the woman didn't expect this. That's why she had come at noontime, not to be bothered by people complaining once more about her sinful lifestyle. But she says to Jesus, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. And then says, you know, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say, that is, you Jews, that Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship. And then Jesus says to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. That's really important. He doesn't say salvation is for the Jews. No. God decided to bring salvation through the Jews, from the Jews. And of course, you can see the line from Adam all the way down to Jesus through the various, the sons of Isaac, etc. And the hour is coming and now is here where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Immediately, the woman has some inkling from the Old Testament about the coming of the Savior, whom she refers to as the Messiah. The Messiah is simply the Hebrew word for the Greek word Christ. I know the Messiah is coming. And John then in parenthesis says, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And listen what Jesus says to her. I who speak to you am he. Now, we don't notice that in the English, but he is using the Greek form for the name of God that Moses got on Mount Olympus. He is saying, I am who I am. And he just doesn't say, I am, Amy, he puts an ego in front of it, which is the pronoun for I. So it reads, I am he, I who I am. And that's the name that God, who was Jesus, in Exodus 3, gave to Moses. So the disciples come back, and they're just amazed. What are you talking with a woman, especially a Samaritan woman? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and were coming to him. And then the disciples had him eat. Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say there are yet 4 months that comes from the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And of course, that reminds us of the parable Jesus gave about the seed that went on the various kinds of ground, and much came to harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice forever. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Well, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. I need to stop here for a moment, because this is something the Sunday school teachers need to get across to the Sunday school children. A lot of lay people, particularly children, do not think that they are worthy enough or able enough to do witnessing. And we would have them do witnessing sometimes just by inviting their friends in the neighborhood to Vacation Bible School or to Sunday school or whatever. This is a sinful woman. That's her reputation. And yet, many of the Samaritans believed in Jesus because of her testimony. So the point I would want to make here is that we messengers are just like the Samaritan woman. We're poor, miserable sinners, but God can use what we have to say and convert. So the Samaritans came out to Jesus, and they asked him to stay with them, where he stayed for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Now, this is really important to understand, that therefore when she was speaking about her faith that Jesus was the Messiah, it was Jesus speaking through her, as he continues to do today through lay people, as well as pastors, and even Sunday school children. So a lot of times the law is, I'm such a sinner, I'm not really able to talk to people about Jesus. I'm not that good. But that's exactly the people that God has called to talk to others, namely those who have recognized they are sinners, but recognize that Jesus has forgiven them all their sins, because he is indeed the promised Messiah. So there's a lot that the Sunday school teachers can use here in getting across to the Sunday school children. And I would encourage them to take a look at Exodus chapter 3, and then some of the passages where Jesus uses the word, I am, the bread of life, the light of the world, the resurrection, the life, and before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus uses her to share the gospel with other sinners who come to faith through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Tom, we're going to keep going here for a few minutes on the other side of the break, but with only about a minute before this break, can we make a connection between Jesus' words to this woman and baptism?
Absolutely. Yes. I actually want to talk a little bit longer on this. This is a great thing to talk about because people do not really recognize the procedure Jesus uses in contrast to every other religion in the world. Their procedure is to get you to start doing good works so you will be rewarded for your obedience and heaven becomes your home. Jesus has a totally different procedure, and I'd love to talk a little bit about that when we return from the break.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus speaking with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. We'll continue that conversation, picking up right there when we come back. Then, for the remainder of Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we'll be going through listener email and the Issues, Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And the comment line is 618-223-8382.
Sanctifying your exercise routine with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Voting takes place June 22nd through the 25th for President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're a registered voter for the 2019 LCMS presidential election, please vote to re-elect Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison. If you're not a voter, encourage your pastor and your congregation's lay voter to vote for President Harrison. Official ballots have been mailed to all registered voters. Remember to vote June 22nd through the 25th.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During June, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
If you appreciate Issues, Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Tuesday, June the 18th. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Jesus and the Samaritan Woman. Tom, before the break, you were starting some comments on the connection between this conversation about living water and baptism.
Yes, thank you very much. I preached at the Synod, both at the Church Extension and the regular place today, on a sermon that I never would have done 2 weeks ago, because for some time I've had a problem in walking, walking slowly, losing my breath, and I went and found out from the doctor that what happened is that I had a murmur in my heart. And what they told me is that I would have to have, I visited with doctors at Mercy Hospital, and one of the things they ended up talking about is that I would needed to undergo open heart surgery to replace an aortic valve that was narrowing and could lead to my death in about a year and a half. I asked how much downtime that would require. They said 3 to 4 months, and I explained to them that wasn't possible. I'm an interim pastor at 4 congregations. I broadcast on radio KFUO 6 times a week. I publish 2 newsletters. I drive for Uber, and I help my wife, Louise, around the house. They were initially taken back at my reaction, but then one of the surgeons spoke about another procedure known as TAVR, which stands for transcatheter aortic valve replacement. And instead of opening the chest, believe it or not, the procedure is done through the legs with a catheter followed by a replacement aortic valve and needed tools sent to the heart, with the surgeon expanding the balloon to put the replacement valve in the precise position. You can guess my first question. How much downtime does that require? The surgeon turned to me and said, overnight. Well, I could hardly believe it. So exactly 1 week ago from today, at 10:15 a.m., I was rolled into the surgical room and found out I would be awake during the treatment, able to hear the doctors and able to speak. But I do remember the doctor announcing that the new aortic valve was in place. So the next morning, the Roman Catholic at a hospital, the doctor visited me. He said that I probably could go home that afternoon, and it was going to be decided upon 2 more tests that I had to take, a blood test and another test. And sure enough, I heard that I was able to go home. So rather than, believe it or not, 4 to 8 weeks in a hospital or in a bed or resting comfortably, I was finished with the procedure overnight. And I began to think about that. And it suddenly hit me that that's what God did. He did a TAVR on us. When, for example, Isaiah was afraid of God because he had seen God, he said, oh boy, am I ever in big trouble. And what did God do? Did he do open heart surgery? David talks about creating me a clean heart, oh God. No, God has another procedure. He sent an angel to the altar, a seraphim, and he brought back in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched the mouth of Isaiah and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. In every other religion in the world, there is a lengthy process where you need to shape up your life and obey God's commandments so that you can be saved. There is no spiritual open heart surgery for any Old Testament believer. Remember Abraham? He believed the promise of God concerning Isaac, and God, I declare you righteous. And that occurs for each and every one of us today living. What is the new procedure that God uses rather than try to become, to help us become obedient to earn our way to heaven? It's a procedure, and this is where I'm answering your question, consisting of drops of water given in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And as confirmed adults, God's messenger, the pastor, does not touch our lips with a burning coal, but instead touches our lips with a morsel of bread, his body, with a sip of wine, his blood, while at the same time announcing that your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for. So the surgical procedure that I underwent, which is kind of new here in the United States, is called transcatheter aortic valve replacement. I now refer to God's miraculous TAVR as transformed atonement victorious recreation in light of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and that occurs by baptism, where the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So we need to be informing people that, yes, in every religion in the world, you almost have an open-heart surgery. In fact, I found an artistic rendering of the devil tearing a person's heart apart in hell, in contrast to God's procedure where he plies water to adopt you into his family, bread and wine, which are his body and blood. That's his miraculous TAVR. And many people have not heard of this because they keep thinking, I'm not good enough to go to heaven. Well, I wasn't good enough to keep on living. But then something happened to me. And by the way, when I went into the surgery, they said I would be awake during it. I almost changed my mind when I heard that. But they numbed those areas of the body, namely the leg area, so that I didn't feel any pain. And I'll never forget hearing, because I could hear the doctors, when the doctor said the aortic valve is in place. Overnight, Todd, I went home. In contrast to 4 to 6 weeks of not being able to hardly do anything with open heart surgery. And it really helps us understand that God has done something in a way. He has a procedure of saving us through which we are conscious as we're baptized and receive the Lord's Supper, but we do not in any way participate in the sense of contributing to or cooperating. It is a procedure God has set up, and we refer to that procedure as the means of grace. Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. And that's what Jesus was talking about to the woman at the Samaritan well, a procedure that permitted her to be saved, even though she was a well-known sinner. But through repentance and trust in the words of Jesus, we can help our Sunday school children come to realize that through God's procedure, yes, there was pain, but it wasn't my pain. It was the pain of Jesus on the cross, who died, so I will never have to ever really die, and who lives so that I will live eternally.
Finally, then, what's the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children on this story of Jesus with the Samaritan woman?
It is so obvious that religions of the world give us the impression that, you know, when you fail in something, people don't think much of you, and you think, oh boy, I better improve so I get that promotion or get to the next grade, et cetera, et cetera. And they just jump to the conclusion that's the way God operates, that we have to get on his right side. No, Jesus is the right side of God, and he did for us what we were unable to do for ourselves. So we need to remember with Isaiah, yes, we're afraid until we remember that the angel has touched us with the waters of baptism, with the Lord's Supper, and therefore we are a new creation. and our guilt is taken away and our sin atoned for.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you.
We base our conversations with Tom every week as we teach a Sunday school lesson on an actual Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. It's called Growing in Christ. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find a link to it. Or call Concordia Publishing House and they will send you free samples of Growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. For the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc., we're going to be responding to you through our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Your email and your comments after this.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Augustana Lutheran Church in Moscow, Idaho invites you to receive the gifts of Christ with us. We preach Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins, risen from the dead for your justification and life. Confessional, sacramental, liturgical. We're a new Missouri Synod congregation on the Palouse. We meet Sundays near the University of Idaho, 1015 West C Street. Bible study 9 a.m., divine service at 10. Find us on Facebook or visit moscowlutheran.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.